Today is the 16th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today around the global campfire as we gather each day, taking the next step forward in the scriptures. And we concluded the book of Exodus yesterday and began the book of Mark yesterday, which brings us to the opening of another book. So we're moving right along. This is the third book in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures. It is the third book in the grouping of five books known as the Pentateuch, or the Torah. And we are following the story of the children of Israel. And we've looked at who they are, so we probably have that down by now. And we've spent a lot of time around Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where God has been speaking to Moses, establishing the terms and the rituals and holidays and obligations that will form a culture, transforming these former slaves into God's chosen people. And one of the things about these people is that they are to be a holy people. So it's been about a year since they've left Egypt. The law has been being given, and we'll start to see this theme of holiness emerging in all of the ways that God is aiming the hearts of his people. Because all of these laws and regulations and statutes, they're aimed at shaping and governing this people. And they need this. They don't know how to be anything but slaves. And so this is forming and establishing them and giving them an understanding of what it means to be in covenant with God. It's like God saying, I want to be known. I want to be known by you. I want to know you. If we're going to be in communion together, if we're going to fellowship with one another, it will be through holiness. And God even says, I am holy, therefore you will be holy. So one of the things that we'll notice as we get to Leviticus, right? Like, I haven't met too many people that say that's my favorite book of the Bible. In fact, here we are now at this point where those of us who continue forward into this new month are very likely to take this journey. But this journey, for people who are attempting to read the Bible through, sometimes ends at Leviticus, because it starts to get bloody. There's a lot of sacrifice in this book. And we have to remember, what we're reading is thousands of years, millennia ago, in a truly different kind of world. The way that people understand their status in the world was very, very different from the one that we now live in. So if we're kind of back reading our culture into the Bible that came before right now, then it's going to be irrelevant to us. If we put ourselves in the camp with the children of Israel, understanding that we just came out of slavery and we don't know anything else, and begin to read what God is establishing, a covenant of holiness, an offer of intimacy through holiness, then we begin to understand that God is showing the children of Israel that their sin costs something valuable, dear, important. And to cover their sin comes at great cost. And ultimately, that great cost is something that we just finished reading about as we closed the book of Matthew with the sacrifice of Jesus. And so let's remember that we're turning the page, but we're basically where we left off. The children of Israel, that's the story that's being told here. The story of the children of Israel. And so let's dive in. We're reading from the New International Version this week. Leviticus chapters 1 through 3. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, Speak to the Israelites and say to them, When anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. You must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron the priest are to put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If the offering is a burnt offering from the flock, from either the sheep or the goats, you are to offer a male without defect. You are to slaughter it at the north side of the altar before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. You are to cut it into pieces, and the priest shall arrange them, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to bring all of them and burn them under the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If the offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, you are to offer a dove or a young pigeon. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off the head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He is to remove the crop and the feathers and throw them down east of the altar where the ashes are. He shall tear it open by the wings, not dividing it completely. And then the priest shall burn it on the wood that is burning on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priests shall take a handful of the flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord. If you bring a grain offering baked in an oven, it is to consist of the finest flour, either thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, or thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with olive oil. If your grain offering is prepared on a griddle, it is to be made of the finest flour mixed with oil and without yeast. Crumble it and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your grain offering is cooked in a pan, it is to be made of the finest flour and some olive oil. Bring the grain offering made of these things to the Lord, present it to the priest, who shall take it to the altar. He shall take out of the memorial portion from the grain offering and burn it on the altar as a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord. Every grain offering you bring to the Lord must be made without yeast, for you are not to burn any yeast or honey in a food offering presented to the Lord. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of the first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain roasted in the fire. Put oil and incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall burn the memorial portion of the crushed grain and the oil, together with all the incense, as a food offering presented to the Lord. If your offering is a fellowship offering and you offer an animal from the herd, whether male or female, you are to present before the Lord an animal without defect. You are to lay your hand on the head of your offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash the blood against the sides of the altar. From the fellowship offering, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord. The internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons are to burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering that is lying on the burning wood. It is a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If you offer an animal from the flock as a fellowship offering to the Lord, you are to offer a male or female without defect. If you offer a lamb, you are to present it before the Lord, lay your hand on its head, and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. From the fellowship offering, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord. Its fat, the entire fat tail cut off close to the backbone, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering presented to the Lord. If your offering is a goat, you are to present it before the Lord. Lay your hand on its head and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. From what you offer, you are to present this food offering to the Lord. The internal organs, and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering, a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, you must not eat any fat or any blood. Mark 1, 29 through 2, 12. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why did this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Psalm 35, 17 through 28. "How long, Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. Do not let those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Do not let those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. They do not speak peaceably, but devise false accusations against those who live quietly in the land. They sneer at me and say, 'Aha, aha, with our own eyes we have seen it.' Lord, you have seen this. Do not be silent. Do not be far from me, Lord. Awake and rise to my defense. Contend for me, my God and Lord. Vindicate me in your righteousness, Lord my God. Do not let them gloat over me. Do not let them think, 'Aha, just what we wanted,' or say, 'We have swallowed him up.' May all who gloat over my distress be put to shame and confusion. May all who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and disgrace. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, 'The Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servant.' My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long." Proverbs 9:13-18. "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, 'Let all who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious.' But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead." Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this new territory that we have come into in your word. In the book of Leviticus, as we've just begun today, and in the Gospel of Mark, which we began yesterday. And Father, as we go through this portion of the Old Testament, may we realize that holy is something we are to be. Because you are holy, we are to be holy. And as we see the children of Israel being pointed in this direction with everything they do, including sacrifices, things that were costly to show that sin is costly and leads to death. These themes are themes that we are familiar with, but they are also throughout the entire Bible. And so may we immerse ourselves more deeply in what that looks like for each one of us. You are setting us apart and making us holy. This is known as sanctification. May we participate. May we collaborate by surrendering our hearts fully to you and trusting in you and you alone. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home. That's home base. It's the website, of course. It's where you find out what's going on around here, which you can also do using the Daily Audio Bible app, which you can download free from any whatever app store is associated with the device that you use. You should be able to find it and download it free from there. So check that out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. And the resources that are there, things like the God of Your Story, which works well in conjunction with the journey that we are on going through the Bible in a year. If you are ever away from the internet by choice or just because of where you are, you can read your Bible and then the God of Your Story is kind of there keeping the story going like we do every single day and is a fantastic resource. Perhaps you listen to the Daily Audio Bible in the morning, and then the God of Your Story is a great reminder, a refresher, so that that sinks down deep what we've read today or any given day. So check that out. There are a number of resources in a number of categories. So the Daily Audio Bible shop is available, and it is full of resources for the journey that we are on through the Bible in a year. So check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing here, showing up every day around the global campfire and allowing the scriptures to wash into our lives, changing us, reorienting us to God, and informing what our day could look like and changing perhaps some of the reactions that we would have, if that is meaningful to you, thank you for your partnership. We could not do this if we did not do this together. Thank you profoundly for your partnership. So there is a link at dailyaudiobible.com on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is a little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Dawn Rising in Michigan, and this call is for Joanne and your campus ministry family. I pray that the Lord sends his armies to release any bind that the devil has over your group of co-workers and you and your husband. May he bless each one of you with children so they can follow in your footsteps. And of course, Satan would want to stop that. So I just pray in the name of Lord Jesus that he would help this situation. I'm also praying for Steve, the man who only has 3 months to live, who is a radical atheist. I just pray that in these last few months that he will take this time to know the Lord and to fall in love with him. That's my prayer for him. So I hope someone can be there to help guide him to the Bible, hopefully to the daily audio Bible, and so that he can spend this time falling in love with our Lord Jesus and be welcomed home. So that's my prayer for this family. I love all of you and have a good day. Bye.
Hello, DAB family. Today is February 13th, and I just got through listening to the February 12th podcast about Moses's continued faithfulness in interceding for God's people, about Jesus's passion, having died for all of us. And Karen from St. Louis came on asking for prayer for her friend Steve, the atheist, who's in his final few months of life. Karen, I just lift up your friend Steve. I just pray that he is overwhelmed by the supernatural understanding of who our God is, how faithfully he is. Not that he needs us, as many atheists would think that he does, but that he wants us and longs for us and loves us. So I pray that Steve would come to the end of himself, even in this time, and see that. And Karen, your story touches me so deeply because of my own brother, Danny, who was such a hard-hearted, hard-headed atheist. I'm here in Ontario for having buried our father, and still my brother refuses to believe that there is an afterlife. So family, I just pray for all the atheists in our lives, that they would know us by our love, that they would know Jesus by his unimaginable love for us.
Hi, Tim. It is Bart from Kentucky. I want you to know that I heard your prayer and I am praying for you. I can identify with much of what you have gone through. Never been bankrupt, but been close. But I can certainly identify with you. Brother, you're in the right spot. You're praying to the Lord. You're putting your best foot forward each day. The repercussions and consequences of our past never go away. And the feelings, the anxiety and the angst and the depression that arise from those ebbs and flows, doesn't it? But you know you're in the right spot. You're asking for help from your brothers and sisters. You're praying to the Lord, and you're putting your best foot forward each day. So keep on doing that, and know that thousands of us out here are praying for you. I pray a healing over you. I pray a restoration. I pray peace and joy, as well as courage for you, brother. It is in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. Again, this is Bart from Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light. Keep the faith, brother.
Shannon from Texas. This is Shannon from Salem, Oregon. I just heard your recording, your testimony, your praise. God has delivered Jadrian, and his life is totally transformed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that you would continue to watch over Jadrian and bless his family, bless his child or children, and future generations. And we just praise you that what the enemy meant for evil, you have turned around for good. And we are praying in faith for the saving of many lives, not only Jadrian's, but we just pray that his life will become such a powerful testimony in your hands, and that you will give him the boldness and the opportunity to share that testimony with many people around him. And I pray that you would use him in lives like his own, and that many people would become redeemed and saved through the power of your Holy Spirit working in him and through him to share that hope with others. And we thank you for the faithfulness of his mother and many others and those in the Dabb family who have prayed for him over the years. We thank you. We bless you. You are mighty to save, and we give you all the glory. And we continue to pray that you'll redeem the lives of our family and friends who haven't yet come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, family. This is Dan calling from Adelaide, South Australia. First time caller, but long time listener. I just wanted to call to ask us to pray for my friend Zach, who is a youth worker. We both are from the same community that works for an organization who does outreach for youth. And Zach was in an accident about 3 weeks ago while he was rock climbing. And he is in a really bad way. And so I would just ask that everyone could pray for him. He's in a coma, he's got a lot of broken bones and is not able to breathe by himself at the moment. And so we are all praying as a community that he would be able to start breathing by himself again and begin to regain consciousness. His bones are healing, but he really needs to begin to breathe on his own. So I really appreciate it if you would all join with me and pray for Zach. Thanks, everyone.